seated. Psalm 81, verse 10, God reminded Israel that he was the Lord their God. It was he who brought them miraculously out of the slavery of Egypt. He said, so open wide your mouths, and I will fill it. Open your mouths wide, and I will fill it. The implication is that God is telling us that whatever your needs are, no matter what level, no matter what area, mentally, socially, emotionally, physically, financially, there's not a need that you and I may have that God cannot supply. We're in our stewardship emphasis here at the church. Last week today, I'll be talking about stewardship. Next week, as many of you know, we're doing our pledge cards. Next week, those will be presented. It's Dedication Sunday. We'll be praying over, thanking God for all that he is planning to do and that we're committing to do in the next year. And money is a tool of God. Now, stewardship goes far beyond that. Stewardship is just not about money. A steward is a manager of all those things that someone has entrusted to them. God has entrusted us with money, but also time, our talents, our abilities. Everything we have, we get from God. We are stewards of everything, of our lives, our families, our jobs, our money, our resources. It all belongs to God, and God has allowed us to be stewards over all of those things. So money, in that context, as we understand it, money is just one of God's tools to build our faith. There are a lot of good reasons to give. Most people, I'm sure, have heard messages and heard pleas about we need funds, we need to meet our budget, we have these needs and those needs and all of these needs, and so we need you to give to cover all of those needs. Now, giving, because there are needs, perhaps may be a good reason, but it should not be the primary reason that we give. Every church has a lot of needs. Every church has a lot of things that they're striving to do. But our motive is so very crucial in our giving. As Judy read a few moments ago, the reason God wants us to give is really to prove the sincerity of our love for him. We should give, therefore, to prove the genuineness, the authenticity, the sincerity of our love for God. So the primary reason to give is not to meet needs, not to meet a budget, not to accomplish all of these programs. The primary reason to give is to build the faith of God's people, to help people understand and comprehend the sufficiency of Almighty God. Because when the faith of God's people is built, they will give, no problem about it. Now, there are several challenges that we face. Let me just share with you a little bit of how I learned some of this. In my story of faith, I came to know Christ as my Savior on Christmas evening, actually, in 1960. I was just a kid, just a young teenager, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, gave him my life, and it literally changed my life, changed my destination, changed everything, turned my world upside down for the good. Now, my first job was a few months later after I came to know Christ, my first job was to be the custodian of that church. Now, I was just 13 years old. It was a small church, a small building, and small pay. Okay, I got $3 a week, so that shows you how long ago that was. $3 a week for cleaning the church. Well, I learned, I wanted to give to God, and I asked, somebody told me, you should give 10% of what you earn to God. So I started every week. I get my $3 pay, and I would give 30 cents to God. Later on, as I got a little older, I got a job as a teenager for $1 an hour at a local clothing store. And I worked about 10 hours a week. So I made about 10 bucks a week, and I gave $1 a week to God. as a proof of my giving, my sincerity to God. And God provided my needs. God clearly provided. As I grew, I kept that giving attitude. Went through college and gave. God took care of me. And then ultimately, I went into the professional world, the CPA for a large international company for several years, until a time came when God called me out of that profession, called me into vocational ministry as a pastor, just a young man. But it was a very difficult thing because I had my sights on a career. I had my sights on what I wanted to do with my life, and God said, no, I want you to follow me in vocational ministry. Didn't tell me where I was going, didn't tell me what I was going to do, didn't give me any promises. Just said, I want you to leave that company and follow me, which I ultimately did. And after I left, then my home church asked me to work there. So immediately I walked into a position, went on to Bible college, and ministered for several years when a large ministry in Virginia asked me to come down there and minister, but also to be their controller, oversee their finances. I was there for a while, and then God called me to a little place outside of Pittsburgh, about 50 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, to start a church. Now, I had a couple of options. One was a position right there at the ministry I was at in Virginia, at a very secure position, more responsibility. And I was also offered a position at a college as the chief financial officer for the college down in Texas. Both of those, and then I had on this hand 35 people in this little town in Pennsylvania, and they said, we can't pay you, and we don't have any place for you to stay, but would you come and be our pastor? And again, I had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 3-week-old baby, and God called me, and I went, and in 6 months, that 35 people went from 35 to 350. God really began bringing people in. And when I surrendered to God to go there with no promise of any money, people began hearing what I was doing, and they came out of the woodwork saying, hey, I want to support you. Within just a matter of weeks, I had over $2,000 a month, which was a lot in 1979. $2,000 a month support promise, and within 6 months, we were fully supported. From there, stayed there 12 years. God blessed the church. It grew phenomenally. And then I was called to the First Baptist Church of East Longmeadow, Massachusetts, 27 years ago. I stayed there 26 years. And last year, today, 1 year ago today, I stepped down from that. For some time, God had been leading me. It's time to go. I did not feel like my ministry was done, but God said it's done here. And so he said, I want you to step down, which I did, not knowing where I was going, what I was going to do. And yet, when I stepped down, within weeks, we got into an arrangement with IPM, who got me in touch with this church, and now I'm here. So I gave you my whole life history in about 5 minutes, and that's why we're here together this morning. God just, and all that time, what I'm saying is that God taught me how to give. God taught me how to trust Him. Not to look at my circumstances and make my decisions based upon what I could see, but to look to Him and trust Him. You see, this is God's goal regarding you and your money. That we learn to trust Him in every facet of our lives, that we trust God. Money is a tool that all of us use, and all of us must learn how to use, or we become slaves to things that should not be. God in Himself has a willingness to provide. What will God do in your life when you trust Him? We often do our thing. We don't give God an opportunity to demonstrate what He's willing to do if we go to Him first. We do what we think is right. We make our own decisions. We plan out our own lives. And we don't give God an opportunity to say, hey, let me take you over here. Let me do something great in this situation. What are you willing this morning to trust God for? What will He do in your life if you trust Him for great things? What does He want to do in you this morning? The issue is not money, ladies and gentlemen. It's faith. When we learn that we can trust God, we then learn how much we can trust Him for, whether it's in money, whether it's in parenting, to trust God to give us courage and wisdom to parent our children, whether or not it's a calling of God in your life to take you someplace that you never thought was possible. Maybe on the other side of the world He calls you. You see, it's all about faith. And we should not this morning worry whether or not God can provide. He tells us in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So God's provision, He tells us He can provide. His provision's not the issue. The issue is whether or not I am willing to trust Him, whether I am willing to believe Him to provide for me, to take care of me. You see, God does supply. Here's a great principle. If you will be faithful where you are and trust God in all times, God will open the windows of heaven and bless you. He'll take care of you in a way that you never thought possible. The problem is, here's our problem. We spend more time worrying and fretting and anxious than we do praying. Ladies and gentlemen, your source this morning is not your job, not your career, not your bank account. Your source is not your finances. God is our source today. Almighty God is the source of this church. Almighty God is the source for you this morning. We are servants. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, we are servants of the Most High God. And so we must look to Him and not worry about all of the circumstances, not worry about all of the problems around us, but to look to Him because He is able. We must seek God's face before we seek His hand. In other words, glorify Him, praise Him, be reverent towards Him before we start asking Him to give. Now, let me give you a course to follow in the days ahead. Let me give you four principles that you can adopt in the days ahead. Number one, obey God and leave all the results to Him. It's not a bad matter of testing the waters and see how deep they are before you make a decision. It's not a matter of you trying to see what you should do before you make that decision. You just see, God, what do you want me to do? What is your will in this certain situation? How do you want me to go about this? You see, if you obey God in all the decisions of life, He then will assume responsibility for your obedience. He is responsible for your circumstances. He's responsible for how it all plays out. He assumes to take responsibility to make it all happen right. So you obey God. Leave the consequences to Him. Secondly, God will move heaven and earth to show you His will for your life. If you want it. Do you want God's will for your life today? Or do you want to do what you want to do? Do you really want to do what God says, this is my priority for you? Or do you just want to do what you want to do? God, I believe all my heart, and I think the scriptures bear it out, God will move heaven and earth. He will do what He has to do. If you want to know His will, if you want to know Him, God will move heaven and earth to show you His will for your life if you desire it. Thirdly, God will provide all of your needs. Not a need that you have that God cannot and will not provide when you obey Him. Fourthly, fight your battles on your knees. Not publicly. It's not against people. It's not against the adversaries. Your battle today is a spiritual battle. Everything's spiritual. And your battle is won or lost on your knees in prayer to an almighty, sovereign God. Now, let me give you some procedures to go along with those principles. How do you apply? How do you adopt those principles? Well, number one, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. America today is sinking in debt. Billions and billions of dollars of credit card debt. People buying things they cannot afford and charging it and hoping they'll have the money someday along the way. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Secondly, don't make decisions based upon money. Make your decisions based on faith. Make your decisions based on obedience to God's word and God's will, not on how much money we have. When you make pledges to God, when you make promises to God, it's really not about your resources, it's about God's resources. It's simple, but because we are afraid of the consequences, we often make poor decisions. Thirdly, focus on God and not people. God knows your needs. He knows the needs of a church. He knows the needs of your family. He knows the needs that you will have in the future. So as he knows the needs, he tells you to obey him. If you obey him, then he's able and willing to take care of you in the days ahead. Let him work. Fourthly, trust God for the needs. Fifthly, keep your relationship with God your first priority. If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, if you have invited him into your life, he is your Lord. You've given him your life and you're following him, then that is the greatest priority. It's not your ministry. It's not your job. It's not another relationship. It's not your money, not your finances, not any of those things. The greatest priority is your relationship with Jesus. Your private, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing in your life. Because everything from him blends into every part of your life. Nothing else has this kind of impact. Nothing else has this kind of power in your life. But if your relationship with God is right, he will accomplish in you what he wants. And when he accomplishes what he wants in your life, it will be better for you for all of eternity. You can't have a better choice, better direction for your life than God can. Because God gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. He loves us that much, and he has called us to serve him. And when we give our lives to him, when we obey him, he will do amazing things in your life. He'll promote you in his time, no matter who or what opposes you. And God, ladies and gentlemen, can handle the results. The most important thing is your personal relationship with Jesus. It affects every other area of your life. So what's our present problem? What's the difficulties you and I face today? Our present difficulty. What, you think in your heart and mind, what are some of the struggles you are going through right now? Whether it's relationally, monetary, economic, mental, emotional. What's the greatest problem you're going through right now? Maybe it's a health problem. Our present difficulty is not our problem, you see. It's his problem. Our lives are in the hands of our God, a God who not only created the world, but the God who raised the dead. And that passage also was read. She said, Paul talked about the fact that he says, I don't want you ignorant of our troubles. We were pressed out of measure. We were beyond strength. We despaired even of our lives. And we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Who are you trusting in today? You trusting in your own strength, your own ability, your own capacity? Or are you trusting in a God who has the power to raise the dead? You see, every time you give yourself the right to have a problem, every time you give yourself the right to worry about something apart from God, you give yourself the right to live your own life. And you're going to live your life the way you think is right rather than how God wants you to live. If you live a life of total dependence upon God, then no matter how threatening a situation may be, you can relate it and give it to him. What's our present limitations? Well, God's activity, ladies and gentlemen, in our humanity will never be limited or determined by any particular gift or talent or skill that you possess. In other words, God's not limited to what he can do in your life by the things that you can do. He's not limited by your resources. He's not limited by the things that you have or the talents and abilities you have. The only limitation on what God can do in us is our availability. Am I available to God? If I said, God, here's my life. You do with me whatever you want to do. It has to do with our faith. You be available to Jesus and his divine dynamic will be released. When you believe and trust in him, nothing is impossible. If you know him personally, then what you do not know doesn't really matter. But if you do not know him personally, then whatever you do know is worth nothing. The key to life is to know him, to give him your life. You see, the Christian life is not about our own capacity. It's not about our own ability, but it's about God's. What he offers, all of himself, is available to us only if we are as available to Jesus as Jesus was available to his Father. The availability of the Son to you will be experienced to the degree of your availability to the Son of God. All that God gives us, he gives us in Jesus. And that's really all we need, folks. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 that Christ Jesus is our wisdom for God, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. It all comes from him. So make him first in your life. As you approach your pledges this week, if you've not already done it, ask God, what does he want you to trust him for? How much can you trust God? And as you look at the days ahead in your own life, in your families, your finances, in your career, whatever you do, what can you trust God for? God wants to lead you in every part of your life. That's why Jesus died for us. He says, I came, the thief comes, but for to steal and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. Do you know him today? It all starts with a personal relationship with him. With turning from our sins and turning to him as our Savior and Lord. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I trust that you'll do that today. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, realize too, after the service, some of our prayer workers, our prayer care volunteers will be here in the front, and they'll be ready and willing to pray with you. I hope you'll avail yourself of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the privilege that we have to give to you. And I pray that we'll be good stewards. If there's someone who doesn't know you as personal Savior, we pray that today might be that day that they'll come to you. Cleanse us. Draw us to you. Have your way and your will. In Jesus' name, amen.